Hey, Road Trippers. Before we start today's show, I have a favor to ask. We just launched a listener questionnaire, and we're asking you to take 3 minutes of your time and to head over to bluewirepods.com/roadtrippinsurvey to complete it. Now, what these surveys are is they help us to better understand who's actually listening to the show, which will help us then reach the right advertisers, which really means you get to keep listening for free. So if you don't mind, take a few minutes to help Richard Channing and myself. Head over to bluewirepods.com/roadtrippinsurvey to tell us more about yourself, and you'll even be entered to win a $200 Amazon gift card. Who doesn't love Amazon? That's bluewirepods.com/roadtrippinsurvey. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Welcome into this edition of Road Trippin' with RJ and Channing. I'm your host, Allie Clifton.
What are those? How about my neighbor helped design these, which is crazy. Really? He was like, oh man, I remember starting those.
Yeah. It's like, who are you? I'm Channing Frye. I played 15 years in the NBA, made millions of dollars. Who do you live next door? This guy that designed shoes.
Are those golf shoes?
No, dude. They're like high top bottom. Air Force Ones. I call these my ice climber joints.
Your ice climber joints.
My ice climber joints.
Where are you gonna? Those are fire, bro. You gotta save those
and then, like, put them back in the box. They might be golf shoes.
Are they?
Oh wow!
Oh, they are now.
If I'm gonna wear some off-white golf shoes,
yo, you'd be the coolest.
That means you owe me a pair. Not golf, but kicks.
They're really subtle though, but I like the color. And again, high top. These are super sick. The material is really nice.
What size shoe do you wear?
17, 18s.
You know what that means.
I have big socks.
Listen, can we give a shout out to our girl, Annie?
Annie's the best. Annie's she lives the down best. The street.
Does she?
Yeah, yo, literally. I was like, where do you live? And it went beep, 3 minutes.
Annie, you got more gifts on the way. You got more gifts on the way coming. For me and Channing to say thank you. What size shoe you wear?
I gave her a whole case of wine. I said, come on, what you need?
What size shoe, Allie?
I was about to say, were you literally just going to ask Annie what size shoe she wears when you guys have yet to buy me ever a pair of shoes?
I haven't bought me a pair of shoes.
Of course you haven't, because you're given them every single time. I wear an 11.
Okay, thank you.
Damn, I was like, big toes?
Jeez. Just damn.
9.5 in men's, if you want to say
birthday. Yeah.
But anyway, shout out our girl Annie. She's a wildcat, bear down. She's awesome. This is what she did, right? I asked her, I was like, I looked at my workout gear and it was looking real in shambles lately. You know, I've been moving a lot, right? So it's been in shambles. And so I was like, hey, is there any way just next time you send something, if you can send some like workout stuff? She's like, I got you. And like a true awesome mom, she sent like 3 packs of socks. And it's just like, oh, that's such a good move. Like I said, I was just thinking like some shoes, some shorts, a couple of dry fit shirts, that 3 fresh packs of socks. Oh, that's like, that's when you're smiling. You're like, the toes is going to feel good.
And this is starting off as a feet episode for all the Allie Clifton OnlyFans feet page.
Can you please send me any kinds of tips and tools to be able to execute this process? Because now I'm at a point where when Richard is sending me comments from my picture that involved comments that are being shed towards Channing about me giving away free content, now I'm a little bit like, okay, can we start this? Get this thing in motion.
Hell, you got to give people what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, guys, it's been a minute since we last spoke. We were in Vegas. We recorded several episodes that have since dropped. Our viewers love Larry Nance Jr.
Why?
So maybe he could
be. There's nothing to be loved about that man.
Because you two got so riled up from him.
Larry is the best at Larry is the best at arguing stuff that doesn't make sense. But then I'm just like, I'd like to argue too. So that's why I love the guy.
So you guys both are the same. You're the same person. So you're the same person.
I was going to say yes.
Yeah, you're the same person. Yeah, I can see.
We will argue the color of the ground.
Yeah,
I love it. It is sand, not granite.
God.
Seriously. So our listeners, viewers loved Larry Nance Jr. Maybe we'll have him back on. They cannot believe that Ali Clifton has no idea about how amazing Gilbert Arenas was. Whatever. Are we serious? Yeah, exactly. Just... Goodbye. And lastly, Richard, you became a ref. And I don't know about you, Channing, but every single place I walk now, people want to know if Richard Jefferson is really going to become an official in the NBA. To which I say yes every single time. How did your experience go?
Did you not see him get booed? They fired him on the halftime.
I cannot.
They fired him in the corner. They said, this ain't it.
I cannot express to you.
Get him out.
I cannot express to you how I will never, ever referee ever again under any circumstance. Like that jersey, I don't know if I'm gonna hang it up. I might frame it. I might frame my jersey, right? But I got a referee jersey. I'm probably gonna frame my referee jersey with my whistle, my Fox 40. That's what they call it. They don't call it a whistle, they call it a Fox 40.
Why?
Exactly, because that's just the name of the brand. I'm telling you, it's a whole nother world, that referee world. It's a, hey, did they get you a Fox 40? And it's just like, what the fuck is a Fox 40? Like a whistle? Yeah, like it's got a little symbol on it. But yeah, anyways, I'm getting a little deep in it. It was an amazing experience. When I tell you their job is over the top, it is so hard. And like, there's so much stuff before you even get into like the actual just game management, like learning where to stand, learning how to transition, all these different things. Then you got to sprint up and down. You never seen a referee call for a timeout before. Like those dudes are in such ridiculous shape. And if the game is going, they're going. And it's just like, you know, no, it was eye-opening. I always had a tremendous amount of respect for the referees and I would always crack jokes with them. That's why, you know, when I was sitting in those rooms, I got texts from like, probably five or six different referees that were like, what are you doing? You have some balls to be going out there. I was like, yeah, I don't know what on earth and why I'm deciding to do this. It was, yeah, it was a bad idea. But I was trying to back. I was thinking about how to back out up until like 12 hours before.
Richard, I will say this. I don't know if I've ever seen you visibly nervous.
Oh,
you were so fucking nervous.
Oh, super.
You were nervous. Richard was like, whoop, whoop, come this way. Richard, he was like, well, yeah, go, he's out. But they were like, Richard, he hasn't taken the ball out. Yeah, take the ball out here. Do I do it here? Richard double thought every single call.
Every
he was like, field goal. No, Richard, that's 3-pointer. He just made a free throw. You guys ready?
Look, listening to, I think it was awesome too to have Monty McCutcheon on the broadcast.
That's
while you were officiating, right? It was cool because he said it right away, like to Channing's point. You could just tell. He's like, he's overthinking everything right now. He's just thinking so much.
But let's just say
Richard has never been accused of that until that moment.
Let me say this. Let's add some flavor to this, all right? I had not been on an NBA court in any capacity since I retired. So let's add that part of it. Two, we're doing the Knicks game because I was supposed to originally do the Orlando game, OKC game, but then, you know, it ended
up
being
one. Nobody was going
to
watch.
But it ended up being 1-2. It ended up being 1-2. So they were like, oh no, we're going to bump you to the next game. The next game ends up being the Knicks game. Like if I could have any more pressure, Knicks fans hate me. They loathe me. And now all of a sudden they have their undefeated summer league team about to be in a game with me reffing. They were in the crowd heckling me. They were in the crowd talking shit. And I'm just sitting here like I am very exposed right now. Like even if you're laughing and joking, you're still exposed. And so now even getting through one fan, little asshole was like, I'm running through and he's like, Jefferson, there's 3 minutes to go. Don't blow it. And I'm sitting here like, and the funny thing about it is I was literally counting down every minute, right? I was counting down every minute. Just like, okay, we got to the 7 minute mark. We're still alive. Okay. We haven't embarrassed our family and our lives. Right. But look, why do you do it? You do it one because fuck, I learned so much about the game, their mindsets, everything. Two, you got to get yourself out of your comfort zone. Like that was the most nervous I'd ever been because there's never been something that I would enter into that I wasn't like ultra prepared for. And I was definitely not prepared for that shit. So, but that's why you do it. That's what makes it fun. But I will never fucking referee again. Ever.
Kudos to you for stepping out. I do also think it's kind of like when we talk about, you know, whether it's coaches right now who have been in the media space and vice versa. When it comes to those media obligations, it's like you understand. You know, it's like Steve Kerr. He was on this side and he was a media member. He called games, et cetera. And now he's in the coaching space. So he understands those third quarter, first quarter interviews. You know, even though you may not want to be a part of them at that time, you have all these other tasks, et cetera. It's a part of it. It's a responsibility. So for you, to your point, as you're calling games now and understanding calls and officiating, I loved the clip that was put together when Bron had approached you during the game. And you're like, look, I'm not here to make those calls. But now you have a little kind of, you know, a different kind of understanding and a perspective of an official. Well, yeah, so
and in my defense, fucking Bron, don't come over and ask me what the hell's going on, bro. like I'm watching the game from a very different eye, bro. Yeah. And then Bron, even Luca, that's my guy. Luca, you're awesome. Follow you on TikTok, bro. You're dope. Luca comes over and starts cracking jokes and people asking me questions. I'm like, apparently I have to know the rule book because these guys want to come over and fuck with me. And so Bron was like, how could he change it? I'm like, Bron, if I was sitting on that bench right now, you wouldn't be asking me. You know me. You know you wouldn't be asking me or Channing. You wouldn't be asking me or Channing. I'm like, bro, like, why are you talking to me? You never asked me this question. We were teammates for 2 years and change. It doesn't know.
Stop it.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Well, kudos to you. When it comes to the NBA and things that have been going on, what has caught your guys' eye, if you will? Anything? Any of the moves that have been made? Any ones that you like? Are you still really curious about the Kevin Durant, et cetera? Yeah.
Two things. And this is going to be unpopular opinion.
Here we go.
If I'm the Celtics, I don't trade Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant or whoever they have. I love Jaylen Brown and his ceiling. I know it's not going to be Kevin Durant, but I think if you look at like the makeup of that team, I think they can continually go to the finals with this team, especially adding the players that they have. That's one. Number two, you know, the big talk is like, is Draymond worth $128 million and blah, blah, blah. And I, you know what? Before I got on here, I said, what analogy can I use? And I said, does Batman worry about gas in the Batmobile? Fuck no, he doesn't. Pay that man. You've won 4 championships. If Steph and Clay are happy, pay that man 130. I don't care. 150. I don't care. Because he's going to do everything you need. He's the bad guy for that team who's a super nice team. They need controversy. There's never been a team that's ever won that doesn't have a little controversy. And when Golden State is too nice, they don't win. They need to be sort of hated. It's what makes them fun to watch. They're the private school kids that are beating the shit out of everybody. And it is fun to watch sometimes.
Well,
sometimes you hate them, then you go, damn, they're really good.
And this is what the Warriors have kind of shown their hand a little bit, is that obviously they're willing to pay the tax, right? They're willing to pay the tax. This is where it gets dicey, people. They're willing to pay the tax. So they know. Draymond knows this. He's been there for a decade. He knows his owners. If they're willing to pay the tax, and they've been willing to pay the tax, if Draymond asks for his money, that's going to put them further in the tax, right? Whatever. But this is where it gets crazy. Who is Draymond trying to save money for? If the team comes to him and say, Draymond, take $20 million less so that we're not this far into the tax, he's like, you guys have been paying the tax. You always will pay the tax. So you're basically saying Lacob wants me to take less money so that he can make more money. That like, and I know it's always, but it's like, that's all it really is. It's not like, hey, has he won a championship? It's like, you know, we already know that Draymond's value to the Warriors is higher than it is like on the open market, but to them it's probably double what it is. And he knows that. They know that. The championships prove that. So in that moment, if he's like, Draymond, if you can only take, you know, 10, right, instead of 15, so Lacob can save some money. And he's like, well, I'm only going to be able to play this for a little bit. I want all of my money because I've proven that you get results when you give me my money. Now give me my money.
What does it look like when you have one of the greatest dynasties in the history of basketball and a player like you want to keep those three together for the history? They're going to be talking about the Golden State Warriors next to the Chicago Bulls.
You know what you become? You become the Chicago
San Antonio
Bulls.
Spurs. Yes.
You become. You saw how the Chicago Bulls ended. You saw the Chicago Bulls ended. Pippen.
Can I ask you guys a question? What?
Yeah.
What
ask away.
Defines what defines a max player?
His value to winning on a consistent basis.
Does not have to do with numbers.
There is a, no, because Draymond can have 0, 8, and 12 and be, and it, that thing is moving. When Draymond comes out the game, they are a noticeably different team. He is the point guard.
He's the pendulum swing. He's the pendulum swing. Yeah. Right. Where there's he's like, there's guy. Well, I'm saying there's guys that are all, there's guys that are all, numbers, right? So yeah, let's say Cyrus. A guy that's all numbers, that's the far end of the pendulum swing, and then the other right. end of the pendulum swing is a great guy like Draymond, where like his numbers are would nowhere near warrant max, but you know his impact. Mm-hmm. There's guys that get a lot of points and a lot of numbers, no impact. Those guys become max players, and there's players with not a lot of numbers with high level of impact, and those, like, you know, those are the guys that get max. So it's somewhere in between, when that's where you get the guys like the Jason Tatums and the stuff like that, where they're like score a bunch of points and they're high and highly impactful. So like Draymond Green is on the end of the spectrum of numbers, so you can't really count him, but there's nobody that would ever for numbers. His impact
his
of the
career.
Game, his impact on the game is far greater than guys that average 25 and 15 I've seen.
Yeah, so his career numbers are 8.7 points, 6.9 rebounds, and 5.4 assists.
And what is his
last
career
year.
Numbers?
How many rebounds?
Go to his career. Now go to his career earnings.
How many rebounds?
No, just go to his career 6. Earnings now.
6.9.
Nice.
Where do I find career earnings at? I'm on Basketball Reference.
They're probably somewhere at the top.
Just say, how much has Draymond made?
Career earnings.
Man, I'll tell you this. Here's another thing to think about. Who in the fuck are you going to bring in if he leaves? Like, who are you going to go get? Who are you going to get that knows the system, is your anchor on defense, is your emotional leader, doesn't shy away from controversy, wants to win every single game, sets the tone every single game, right? It's like there are things he does that make them, like, people.
What's his career, what's his career earnings? What's his career earnings?
$129,755,715.
So now he's asking for the max.
$129 million. That's it.
Yeah. Listen. Hear me
for
out.
A Hall of Famer.
Listen. Hear me out. Hear
I'm
me
okay
out.
With that.
So he's got He's made $130 million. He's about to get another $130 million. So for a guy who averages 8, 7, and 6, is about to be at 260 million dollars over the course of his career, $250 million. So you want to talk about his impact on the game? Don't tell me numbers. Those numbers are the numbers that mean something.
Oh, yeah, so that's $128 million.
Quarter of a billion, bro. Quarter of a billion.
And he's
dollars.
Set to make 25.8 this upcoming season.
I'm okay with that. If I'm winning championships for what he does and his impact, mm-hmm. I am okay with that. When you have Steph and Clay, when you draft those three guys and you put that team together with Steve Kerr, you could see everyone else can rotate, right? They've gone through a lot of different players, but if you keep those three, you're a top two team in the NBA almost every single year. Guys that just give you become way better within that system. Like Wiggins was a giveaway.
I won't and say giveaway, but yeah, they wanted to get off of him. You're right. I won't say giveaway.
Yeah, they wanted to get off him. And all of a sudden now we're like, even myself was like, who is this dude in the NBA finals? This is Big Wiggly. I said, hey, that's Uncle Wiggy right there, dog. Hey, booming on people. We were talking about, hey, if Steph hadn't had that 50-point game, we were like, hey, just Wiggins in the MVP conversation. Like, he was balling out. You can't get 17 and 19, 15 and 17. Like, he was doing everything in that system because of those three guys. Steph and Clay is something special. Steph, Clay, and Draymond is a dynasty of winning that comes once in a lifetime.
Once in a lifetime.
Once in a lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. Lakers.
So $128 million, relax. You're going to be good.
Lakers having fun. Already You've already seen the value of the franchise. You've seen all of that stuff.
Oh. How do you guys feel about the trade rumors surrounding Donovan Mitchell?
Get him up out of there. I'm tired of watching him in Utah.
Real interest include the Wizards, Heat, Raptors, Hornets, Kings, and Hawks. Anyone that you'd like to see him on?
Miami.
Is it Miami? Why
who are you losing in Miami then?
Who do you want? Who do you want? I think Donovan Mitchell in Miami is going to be real good. They don't like think about how Tyler Hero, his effect on the game of basketball as a sixth man. Think about Donovan Mitchell, who's done his thing scoring in the playoffs, has that type. He's been an all-star, max player. Add that type of offensive firepower to a team that is solid defensively, where he's going to get a green light and be taking better quality shots around better quality players in a system that is, I would say, tender toward his style of play. I love it.
Okay.
I love it. Two guards usually do well. If you're a scorer and you go to Miami, play a little defense, look who's behind you, and you know, shoot the ball when you're open. You got to pass that ball 57 times in a half court.
I was about
though,
to say, so. Do you think that culture, that kind of system,
I think it's great for him.
Would be good for him.
It's going to create value for him and his brand, because they're going to say if you could be successful in Miami, they're going to keep you there, especially if you could put the ball in the hole. In Utah, they're like, well, he's just jacking because nobody else can make it other than Jordan Clarkson.
No, but Brian,
you do it in Miami.
Yeah, Brian Windhorst was pointing out. He's like, look, as soon as Danny took over in when he took over in Boston,
yeah,
he decided that, you know, he wanted to do a rebuild after he decided when he made that, he's done a full rebuild. He's gotten rid of everybody and started over before. And if he walked in there and said, hey, look, we can't keep, if we keep Rudy, if we keep Donovan and let go of Rudy, we're still going to be too good. Right. And so we're not going to get the picks that we want. I'd rather sell these guys for 5-6 picks a piece. You know, I don't even know if I necessarily want a young superstar. They pointed out like, oh, RJ Barrett to the Knicks. And they're like, would Utah really want RJ Barrett? Because RJ Barrett's going to come into next year. He's going to he's going to average 20 plus a game. The team's not going to be very good. And he's going to ask for a damn near max rookie contract or a high number. And somebody's going to pay him that because he's a very good young player. But like, that might not be the immediate direction that they want to go. They're like, we're going to have this guy here. Then we're not going to pay him. So are we going to trade him after that? Who knows? But they were saying they might not even want RJ Barrett. Now, all of these things are hypothetical, but if we're just talking hoops and saying that, look, I wouldn't be surprised. They blow it up. They've already seen what they can get for Rudy Gobert. There's a bidding war now for Donovan Mitchell, who seems like a very nice guy, young all-star, all of these things. So, you know, take your time, but I don't know where he ends up. I just know that when you look at how Danny has behaved before and kind of blowing things up and doing that with Rudy, and they got, like, they were talking about trading Royce O'Neal to the Brooklyn Nets. It was like, yo, that was Donovan's, like, best friend, right? Like, these are things that you're like, hey, bye.
Do you think this is like a holding?
Get on the jet after the season, see each other.
Do you think this is a holding, like, trickle down, if you will, until things happen with KD?
People might target him differently. Yeah. Right. I don't think it there could be a trickle down effect. Right. There definitely is. Let me say there is, just because of like you're limited in the like the actions from every team. Right. But mm-hmm. I think with where it's not is that I think teams might not target Kevin Durant. They might just be like, hey, Donovan Mitchell's the one that we'd rather go. Let's focus all of our energy there. But there's other teams that are like, well, we're trying to be a third team for this and we're possibly this. And so when you got Kevin Durant out there, that's going to slow up everything.
I'll be honest. I love the blow up. I thought Utah, good. They look good on paper. They were the most medium team. That's like a burger, no sauce, with no condiments, no bacon, no cheese, no bun, pickles. Burger, bun.
Pickles.
Oh, hold the pickles. Pickles are the devil's fruit, by the way.
Stop it. I add pickles.
They're disgusting. Disgusting. But, like, blow that up. They're the definition of mediocrity. Like, way to be number one in the regular season and then get your ass beat in the first round every single year. Time. But it was just like, dude, it's time to blow it up. Like, you saw the chemistry wasn't working. They were stale. Like, get a new rebuild. This draft class coming up is going to be very, very good. Somebody that grows in that Utah system usually turn out to be very good players. Danny Ainge drafts crazy well. No matter what you say about Danny Ainge, he drafts crazy well. He knows how to assess talent. So Utah, I want to have a clean slate when he's coming in here and have all the picks I want so that he can put, and he's not afraid to go take a chance on a vet like Kyrie, like Kemba, and then say, hey, it ain't working. Get him up out of here. Thank you. Bye. Goodbye.
And when you have a ton of picks, right? Like, the picks are never disposable, but picks offer flexibility. So imagine if you sign somebody, it doesn't work out. It's like, look, we got 5 picks over the next 3 years. We'll ship you 2 picks in this person. Go, get them out of here. Well, now we got 3 that we're working with. We got, you know what I'm saying? Like, it keeps you in a space of like flexibility, because it's like right now there's so many deals that are being held up. Look at the Lakers and their lack of flexibility. They had no picks. Now they have 1 pick, and now it's like, oh, if they want Kyrie, they've got to give up 1 picks or 2 picks. And you're like, dude, well, we haven't had a pick in 4 years. We don't, you know, you just don't have flexibility. So when you get, you know, like Sam Presti, when you get 20 picks over the next, you know, 9 years.
Can we talk about that? Like, at what point is that like, can we just, here's a question. Can we talk about, other than maybe Josh Giddey, who's a very solid NBA player, since KD, Jeff Green, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, I can't really remember them drafting anybody of substance.
Who?
Oklahoma City.
They had a great stretch. They drafted Serge, and then Serge is one of those guys.
That's a long time
ago. I know, but then those guys were all on that team. Like, you know, like when you're talking about drafting, you're only going to draft when you got those monsters. You're drafting between 24 and 30 every year. That's the only thing. That's why a lot of times whenever Bron shows up, right, he's like, ship that. 24 to 30, that's not going to help us. We're not going to get anybody there that's going to help us right now. Ship that off. So it's like, because those picks are hard to nail, you're right. When you get all of those picks, the idea is that you get a good team. You get some good players. Now they got Chet. They got Chet. They got Josh Giddey.
C-H-E-T.
Yeah, they got Chet. They got Josh Giddey. They got Shea.
How many games do you think that team is going to win?
I'm just saying that you can evaluate. This year, if they get better and these guys look like they have a chance to be young studs.
What? No, Allie, stop it.
I think over 30.
I give them 30.
I want 35 is a lot.
Ooh, let's take 30, a bet.
35 is a lot. I'll give them.
You're saying over 30.
I say 30.
35.
I'm saying under 30.
I say 35.
I just think they're so young. You're relying on a lot of guys to play winning basketball.
If he comes back and they actually
Shea's a bucket.
Shea is an all-star. Shea is an all-star. You have Chet. You have some guys. 30 games. Not a lot. That means you're 30 and 52. That's what, like,
Richard, they're in the West now. Minnesota's going to be a beast.
Shit. They beat the Lakers 3 times.
San Antonio's going to be boo-boo.
They beat Joe Louis.
Houston's going to be okay.
Houston's going to be dog shit. You're just lying. You're lying to make your point. Don't say Houston's going to be okay. Houston's going to be...
I said they're going to be... I didn't say boo-boo. They're going to be... They got talent. You know what? Now that I say it, it may be more than 30.
Thank you.
Portland's going to be tough. Golden State is 2 L's. Sacramento, 50-50.
50-50, don't put them Clippers, in the same
Clippers, that's 2 L's. Lakers, 50-50. Suns, 2 L's. Utah.
Hey, listen. We can keep just saying NBA teams and names. Like, at the end of the day, like, I think they can win. I think if they have a good, healthy season and they're, like, competitive and building, I think they can win 30 games. Allie thinks 35. I think that's a great year. And I don't think they're going to have that. You think 25, that's a shit year.
I think under 30.
All right, we'll mark this.
Deal.
Mark this. What are we going to bet, Richard?
If I'm right, you guys have to each buy me a pair of kicks.
Deal.
Wait, what is your number?
I just...
35.
Do you listen?
Bro, that's 100.
You know, Jenny,
she has to buy us both.
Number.
She has to buy us both a pair of shoes if she's wrong.
Deal. Okay, guys, before we wrap up this NBA conversation, just one kind of like pan over. Any team that has retooled through the draft or built the roster and is pretty much set, not waiting on Kevin Durant, which one catches your eye the most? Were you surprised by, et cetera? Any team stand out to you?
Richard, I'll let you go first.
I'm thinking.
Mine is just...
I love when you guys do this.
The Clippers. It's not even close. The Clippers are the team to beat next year. And this is, I know it's crazy to say, the Clippers are the team to beat. They have not only Norman Powell, Robert Covington, they brought Zubac back, healthy Kawhi, healthy PG. They got Reggie Jackson. They have basically a team that been making the playoffs with the auxiliary players. Now they get their two superstars. The auxiliary players have been playing starter minutes. They understand their roles and want to win. They got T. Lou at the helm, and their owner got crazy bank and is willing to go play and make chances to win. I think they are the best team next to Golden State if Golden State comes back to go at one-on-one. They are an example of what today's NBA game is. They're an older version of Boston.
You haven't seen
they got two guys.
Kawhi Leonard play basketball in how long?
I haven't seen Kawhi Leonard do anything except smile and laugh. I haven't seen him do that. But he wins championships when he's healthy. If he's healthy, they're the best team in the league.
Ooh. Okay.
Coaching stars.
No, I'm still trying to think of
them and Golden State.
Trying to think of a team that I feel like has done something that we're excited to see. I just personally haven't seen anybody. Memphis, I'm curious to see how they're going to, you know, build on last year because they've built forward every single year. Now they're not the young, lovable, you know, guys up there. Now they're, you know, they're going to be targeted, which they like it. That's not an issue. That's it. I'm being really honest.
Did they get better? They shipped off some of their better players.
Yeah, we haven't seen like the shift. Like, think about some what?
Jaren Jackson Jr. won't be available until midway through as well. Correct? Like December.
Yeah, which again is one of their.
That's a 16.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a 16. And he's, you know, he's now starting to develop, you know, some availability problems. I'm not going to say injury prone. I'm just going to say some availability problems.
That's a great way to say that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. He's adverse to availability.
Yeah, he's having some availability challenges. And so, no. So when you look around this league, I don't really see one that's just like, oh, you know, this team I'm excited to see. I like the Malcolm Brogdon move, but we don't know what Boston's going to look like. We don't know if the tense situation might, you know, Jaylen Brown doesn't seem like a, you know, water under the bridge kind of guy, you know.
If you're getting traded for Kevin Durant, you better suck it up.
I agree.
Are you joking?
Who'd you get traded for? It doesn't change the emotion.
When they told me I got traded for Zach Randolph, I was like, oh, shit, okay. Where am I going? Portland? Oh, shit. What's in Portland? And now I'm stuck in this motherfucker.
Now you love it. God, you just sounded and looked like Logan so much.
He looks like me.
Same.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Did you guys see the viral video of the chess-playing robot and the 7-year-old boy?
No.
The one where it broke his hand?
Yes.
No.
A robot.
I would have fucked that robot
up. A video
up.
Went viral of a chess-playing robot when it reached across a desk and broke a 7-year-old boy's finger during a tournament. I've watched the video. It is pretty wild. The kid was moving his pieces too fast, and the robot didn't like it. Okay. The tournament officials sided with the robot, saying the boy interrupted his turn. So it is pretty wild. The boy did come back the next day. He played. He finished the tournament with a cast on. But nonetheless, a robot broke his finger.
Can I see the video?
Are we not in fucking Skynet right now? What's up, conspiracy theorist? I will pull up the video.
So as we're waiting on that.
God, Richard. The robot said, hey, homeboy. Stop playing in pawns too quick. Right, snap your finger off.
Having said that, do you think we'll ever see robots playing basketball one day? And do we have to realize that the Skynet is officially a reality?
No, we don't. We don't have to. We're not going to see robots playing basketball.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, for sure, Ellie. You know I'm
Yeah, I know you are. Go back to episode 3 of the podcast where you and Kyrie dive into strong conspiracy.
Oh, can I tell you one that I've heard that was kind of crazy? Yeah.
Okay, so Channing, what did you hear funny or interesting about a conspiracy? Because you think robots will play basketball.
And I want fans. Well, I think if you listen to some of the smartest people in the world, they've always been like, I have to talk to the government about how fast they're creating artificial intelligence. And like all of them across the board have made references towards like, hey, we need to do this within a certain, with certain parameters, blah, blah, blah. But I'd love to hear the fan feedback of the newest conspiracy theory is that Area 51 is not where aliens landed. It's where there is a doorway between dimensions. And that is why we're not allowed to go there. So Area 51 is where they created, like, there is a doorway between different dimensions. And that is why it's like, oh, there's aliens there. There really isn't. That's a doorway to somewhere else.
Can you please take us there and let us know?
You just...
Oh, I know, don't shoot you on the spot.
What else in America are they going to shoot you on the spot? So you just like this idea. You're like, oh, that's a cool idea. Like, not that you like rationally think it. You just think that's like a cool idea. You're thinking, oh, that would be cool.
So like Doctor Strange, I think of this. Like to the
multiverse.
No. We're not trying to like cartoon it. But you would have to ask me the question of, do I think we're alone in a universe, in our universe?
Okay.
Right? Which I think no. And then you would have to say, in our vast amount of universes, we're to understand the concept of there is as much, the universe, there's as many universes as there are grains of sand. So if we are one universe and there's as many universes, grains of sand, what type of attitude would that be? Now, do I ever think those people would ever be able to see us? No. We believe in wind, even though we can't see it, right? Like things move without us understanding. Like there are things that happen on Earth that are unexplainable. So why would that not happen across the board throughout the world?
For me to think
that there is a thing.
If there's one in a billion chance that this planet exists, well, there's like 100 billion chances. So that means that even just, I get what you're saying.
Channing, do you think the Earth is flat?
Yes. No, I do not think the Earth is flat. I don't. I have not seen the Earth from a spaceship, but I do not think the Earth is flat. Here's what I'll say about that. I don't also just believe everything that the government tells me all the time. Like, I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah.
I live in my nice little suburban home in Portland, and I'm good.
Okay.
Right.
Moving on from robots playing basketball to conspiracy theories. Did you guys see Aaron Rodgers report to camp?
Dude, that was tight.
Richard, have you been living under a rock?
After the referee thing.
After the referee thing,
I deleted all my social media. So I'm not on like TikTok. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook.
How good does that feel?
So then who's responding on all your stuff?
First of all, let me phrase this. I took it off of my phone, so I don't have it. Do I still have Twitter on my iPad? Can I like look at Twitter and like respond?
Okay.
I still do those?
I was about to say, someone's in your stuff.
No. So I still have access to like my, like if I'm sitting on my iPad, stuff. I can like look at tweets. But I'm just like, you know, in your car. I just don't have access to social media.
This was on Twitter. Aaron Rodgers dressed up at, well, didn't dress up. I mean, he looks damn near like the identical Nicolas Cage from the movie Con Air.
Oh.
You have not seen that movie, have you?
Oh, she hasn't seen it?
I haven't. But I do know Nicolas
Cage. I love Nicolas Cage.
Just I do too.
Have you seen his other movie, the movie that just came out?
Not Pig.
There's another movie where he plays himself. Where Nicolas Cage plays the burden of magnificent talent or some shit. I don't know. I'm making that up.
Okay, you guys, if you could dress up as any movie character on your way into the arena, who would it be and why?
Oh.
He didn't really dress up, though. He looks just like him, just as himself. So.
Okay, there's a list here.
No, that's a specific
Sydney Dean from White Man Can't Jump. That'd be a great look. I would go Blade. That would be a great look. I would go Morpheus. That'd be another great look. I would go Shonuff. I would go Shonuff from Last Dance. Our Last Dance, God. Last Dragon.
Who's the master?
Shonuff.
Whenever he used to do his hair back like this, he had long hair. He'd be like, ooh, who's the master?
Shonuff.
Definitely Bruce Leroy will be up there for me. Nacho Libre will be two. Okay.
Libre.
Who else? I would have to say James Bond, just to be fitted in a suit, looking delicious and nutritious. I would actually want to be a transformer, just so I could transform into something cool. I'd roll up as a car and like just turn into Channing.
Dead. I cannot.
You're like, damn, look at this car. No, it's Channing. Fashion.
Fashion. Okay. On to this one. Let's see if you guys saw this in the sports world yesterday or this week. Carolina Panther running back Christian McCaffrey. Did you guys see this? Pimped out his dorm room at training camp with bougie candles, pillows, rugs, and blankets. He needed a very bougie, nice rug to be the first thing that he stepped on in the morning. And he's getting flack for it.
Who?
From some of his teammates. Christian McCaffrey.
Listen, Christian McCaffrey, he can do anything he wants. He's a bad dude, right? My thing about this, and I think me and Channing, we both live by the same rule of whatever it takes for you to do you and be you, do it.
I don't give a shit.
If you want to wake up and you want to smack yourself in the face and poke yourself in the eye, and that means you're going to go run 2,000 yards this year, go do it, bro. Like, who gives a shit what other people think?
Do it every day, though. You got to smack the shit out of yourself every day. Don't smack it on Monday and not Tuesday. I will do it for you. Like, we're trying to win. That's what you need.
Yeah, if that makes you want to wake up and do, like, get in your feet. What his toes got to go through as a running back, right? If he's like, yo, the first thing I want to touch is like a soft carpet, that makes me just like, the day's going to be okay.
Oh, okay. I hope it's bear. I wish he had
Let me ask you.
Like a black bear that he killed.
Ooh, did you see that controversy too? Who would win? A grizzly bear or a gorilla? In a fight, who you taking?
Oh, a gorilla. Not even close.
Really?
Not even close.
That's not true. That's not true.
Not even close. I don't think that's a close answer.
I think a gorilla.
I don't think that's a close answer.
A grizzly bear is 2 feet
taller. Imagine a gorilla has both hands and feet that are hands. Eyes. Done. Boo. Have you ever seen King Kong versus Godzilla? King Kong was beating the shit out of Godzilla for a second.
Boop. I'm sorry. If that bear gets a hold of one of those arms, if that bear gets a hold of one of those gorilla arms and that gorilla is trying to punch, that bear ain't feeling shit, bro. That even a silverback.
The bear going to feel a gorilla
but
punch.
But this ain't. I'm sorry. I'm picking a pissed off grizzly bear over a silverback. I might be wrong.
Oh, have you ever seen a gorilla rip a chimpanzee in half?
Why would I have ever seen that? I didn't say that
a gorilla was fighting a chimpanzee. Guys,
you like watching
that?
I know, but
a chimp is stronger than a human.
A chimp is stronger than a human.
And then I've seen a gorilla.
You like watching dark nature shit, bro.
He likes watching dark.
For sure. Nature is metal is my favorite. Yeah, dude, it's the best. I love to see him because I go.
He's like, hey, yes, I do.
He likes.
Here's why I do it. Because you know what? And Allie, this is for you. Sometimes my intuition says, why are they going near that animal? It could bite you. And then I look, it bit the shit out their ass. And I say, you know what? I'm in tune with who I am. I just want to look. Remember the motherfucker that got beat up by the bison? The little, they let their little kid run towards a 1,000-pound big-ass cow with horns? That's angry?
Just, first of all, that's whooped? Just being stupid. That's what you get. That's no intuition. That's just being stupid. That's what
you get. Listen, okay. Allie, there are certain tendencies I try to lean against. If there's a fish in the water, I'm going to let the fish be fish. I'm going to step out the water. That's his face. Okay? Crazy birds? No, I don't want none of that. I'm going to get him a tent. Right? Or go in my house.
Do you remember on the bus leaving Orlando, Channing, when Dwayne was talking about how he has a fear of birds? Fears birds, like one of his most fearful.
Yeah.
Okay. Lastly, back to really quick, Christian McCaffrey. So who's the most bougie teammate you guys have ever had?
Oh, Darren Williams. Not even close. It's the fastest. Oh, Michael Redd too.
I love you, Mike.
Yeah, I have Michael Redd too.
Michael Redd.
Oh, Michael Redd.
You know what's so funny? How about this? Right. So the minute you said it, Channing says one name. I say Michael Redd, not forgetting that Channing was teammates with him also.
At the end of his career, though.
He could still get buckets, but he wasn't Michael. Love him. He's an amazing dude. Amazing person. Great dude. Nicest human being. But my guy is bougie. He's bougie. And he knows it.
Particular. Is this, I said medium?
You know, no? I just, like, can you?
Thank you. You can take it.
Is there any way, that, like, you know, just like a couple degrees warmer?
No.
I cannot.
Oh. I like two ice bags. Can they be really thin? Like one layer of ice. Yeah,
just
like,
just really, really thin. It just helps you. It's just because it doesn't sit on your knees right. So then it's just like, you're like, okay, that's your rationale.
Yeah. Oh, but that's your explanation. Which is crazy. I'm talking now. You can't
but
make
at the end of the day, you two support him. You support that.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Mike, whatever you got to do to go get your buckets, man, I don't give a damn, but I'm still going to make fun of it.
I make fun of everything. Listen, he's one of the most non-talked about bucket getters
of that generation.
Our generation, Michael Redd, second round pick, Ohio State,
Golden.
Had a wild lefty shot, buckets.
You guys, Richard, I think this is mainly for you because I didn't see Channing's expression about this. Will you take over the rights to the Choco Taco Klondike bar and find a way to not allow it to go extinct?
No, you know what I'm most devastated about is that my youngest is allergic to peanuts, so he can't have a Choco Taco, right?
Damn.
So I was like, else, like, we would have just been Choco Taco'd up. But I'm definitely taking Little Rich for a Choco Taco. They still have them. I literally bought one 2 days ago. They're going to discontinue it at a certain point in time, which I'm hoping they just bring it back. Hopefully they do it like a McRib where they just bring it back for like limited runs.
Or like the Mexican pizza or something.
Yeah. Just like a limited run. Like, imagine if like, you know, you can only get the Choco Taco between like, you know, I don't know, June and September, April, you know? Yeah. August. Just a little summer treat. Just don't take it away forever. Don't. Or somebody else buy the fucking rights.
That's what I was going to say. Channing, who was that character you dressed up for Ron's Halloween party with that mask? Because that's what you look like with your glasses upside down right now.
Harry Potter.
Blackman? Gryffindor.
You guys are wonderful. Okay, I'm done. Do you have anything else to talk about?
No.
Anything else to get off your chest? Nope. No, you feel good. Oh, Rich needs to go night-night.
Richard needs a little nap.
Steph needs to put you to bed night-night. We go night-night. Okay. That's another edition. It's another edition of Road Tripping.